Can you hear me?
Yes.
First, I want you to know that I never take this lightly when I'm given an opportunity to speak. And Mr. Miller just told me today about this talk. I want you to think it over, but don't overthink it. Bob Gray called me the other night. I think he's kind of feeling bad that since I've retired, I don't have too much. And my wife and I kind of struggle and financially. And so he called us to come over and have a big dinner with him and his wife. And he said, we'll give you a big spread. So we went to his house and sat down at the table and prayed. And my wife and I were expecting this fantastic dinner. And he brought out a couple plates of beans. Threw them on the table, and some of you guys will recall Mike, he brought out a jug of Mad Dog 2020. Poured us a glass of that, and he said, Mike, after you've been having steak for a long time, like my wife and I do, beans will taste fine. And he said, after you've been drinking champagne and brandy, like we do every night, you're going to dig a quart of cheap wine. He said, the world's funny, and people are strange, and man's a creature of constant change. So after you've been eating them beans for a long time, or steak for a long time, beans will taste fine. Thanks, Bob, for the gas. And I want you all to take out your pencil or your pen in front of you on your piece of paper, and I want you to write something down. Everybody in here. I want you to write at the top of that paper, just a little more. Just a little more. Now I want to ask you, what's your definition of contentment? And are you content? If you're content, that's good because you should never ever want to buy another car. Right, Rex? That's a little inside joke we had. The biblical definition of contentment: an internal satisfaction which does not demand changes in external circumstances. An internal satisfaction which does not demand changes in external circumstances. If we claim to be Christians, then according to Philippians 4:19, my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So I guess I'm content. I should be, right? If you claim to be a Christian, you should be content, right? Probably not. Through conversations I have with a small group that I belong to, or a conversation the other night, which lasted a couple hours, I really tried to come to grips with what contentment is. And it seems to be that there's two lines of contentment: contentment in life and contentment in Christ. See, I've never really been content in my life. Now I'm talking about before Christ. I lived 50-some years trying to fill this hole, what we'll call a God hole. I tried to fill this God hole with everything but God to try and be content. And all I ever put in that hole was pleasurable things. Pleasurable things of the world. Can any of you relate to that? See, this pleasure brought me satisfaction and temporary contentment. Then my satisfaction ran out and I sought out more pleasure, and so on and so on and so forth. And I know some of you know what I'm talking about, because some of you I hung out with. Now this can become a lifestyle to every way and to the max. With your house, with your car, toys, motorcycles, and yes, even wives. We're bombarded with media every day that tells us we need more, more, and better stuff. We, being the complete morons that we can be as men, we buy into that. Right? There's a moron to give me an amen. So our quest goes on and on and on. There's never enough, because you don't have an enough spot in your life, in your body. They once asked John D. Rockefeller, at that time he was the richest man in the world, and they asked him, how much money would it take to make you happy? His answer was, just a little more. My dad and my family of that generation, see, we didn't have credit cards. They knew to the dollar how much they were going to make each year. He was a factory worker. They couldn't get above the level in the community ever. Most were satisfied with what they had. And as kids, we were pretty happy. We like to talk about the good old days. Any of you ever talk about the good old days? You do, don't you? And how good it was. And it was, wasn't it? For most of us. Then we always said this. We want to make it better for our kids. Why? It was the good old days, remember? You had some discipline in spending, discipline in how you live. So make up your mind. You want to teach them new things, or you want it like the good old days? It was so good and simple back then. Why weren't we content when we grew up? One reason is because of the media, TV, radio, living and worshiping in the secular world, the worship of false gods like things, stuff, and toys. And if you want to see if you worship false gods, look at your checkbook. Take a look at your checkbook. I'm even more guilty than most. So it seems there are two contentments that should weave into one. One in our daily life, where we are with our stuff, and the most important one, in Christ. Just a little more. If you want your kids to have it better than you had it, don't give them more. Teach them more. Teach them how to live life. How to live life in Christ. See that? The way you teach them becomes a habit. So make up your mind. What you want for your children. Is it what you have today? Look at your credit cards. Is that the way you want your kids to live? Just a little more. So how can you find contentment? What is Paul's secret? Because he said he found the secret. He tells us in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because Paul knew that whatever situation he was in, the Lord is the one who is in control. And that is the one who will see him through. Therefore, he can be content. The Lord is in control. Just a little more. Here we are, living a lifestyle of pleasure, seeking, and all of a sudden we need to be content in Christ. Whoa. Those two things never jived up with me. Because I wanted to seek, and I wanted to get more pleasure, and I wanted to buy some more. It always, and I do mean always, gets back to self. Dying to yourself every day. And putting God first. Just a little more. See, Paul declares, my God shall supply all your needs. Notice I didn't say wants. He'll supply your needs. According to His riches and glory in Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:19. See, all that Paul had done was in Christ. All that he was doing was in Christ. And all that he would do was in Christ. That same can be true for us if we are fully committed to Jesus. It's very important that we don't accept any substitute for the peace that Christ can give us. John 14:27. Now I know just what some of you are thinking, believe me. Because I still think those things sometimes myself. Nobody in our society really lives like that. Nobody is that committed to Christ that they are content in their relationship with Him. Nobody is ready to give up everything for Christ. If you think that, like I used to, you're dead wrong. And I do mean dead. In 2 Timothy 3:2, for people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered lovers of money and aroused by an inordinate greedy desire for wealth, proud and arrogant and contemptuous boasters. He's talking about the end times. Just a little more. I want you to ask yourself, are you struggling in this area, or is it just something you want to glaze over when you start talking about it? I don't want to let these other guys know how I'm struggling, because the guy next to me's got it. He's right on. He's got all that it takes. Well, that's not true. First, I want to emphasize one thing, though. Wealth and things of the world aren't bad. They're not bad to have. They're not bad to try and achieve unless they become your idol. And if you want to see if they're your idol, go look at your checkbook. Second, we should strive to desire less and appreciate more. Determine the difference between your needs and your wants. I have a hard time doing that sometimes because everything I need, I want. And everything I want, I need. Give up your cravings for the things you don't have and try to enjoy the pleasures in the things you do have. We have to quit thinking that more is better. Eliminate the desires that aren't really yours, but they're the desires of the world for you. Quit making comparisons with others. Everybody here does that. You can't look at the guy across the table from you and not measure him. What he has, where he works. I'm not saying you're doing it in a bad way, but we just do it. What's he driving? Oh, that looks pretty nice. Oh, his wife looks pretty good. She's 30 pounds lighter than my wife. She just had a boob job. That's what we all do. Because you're men. I can't say that up here. I guess I won't be asked back. Now, I can't get as gritty as Kevin Butcher. Right? In 1 Timothy 6:6, now there is great gain in godliness and contentment. Don't you get tired of the rat race and always having to have more? Don't you? Don't you just get sick of it? Just a little more. Let's remember to use the things of the world and never let them use you. Write that down. Bob Gray said that was good. Remember to use the things of the world and never let them use you. Just a little more. Maybe you're feeling right about now that I can't live like that. I can't totally be content in Christ. Why not? Why are you here? Do you remember how you asked Christ to come into your heart? How you proclaimed that the old you died away and you now have a new life in Christ? I challenge you to ask Christ to forgive you and that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The time has come for those of us who are lukewarm Christians and loving it to take a stand in our lives. It's time to give God all the honor and glory He deserves, to study the Word, to be in fellowship, to be in church, to be His witness, to trust Him, and allow His peace and joy and contentment in our lives. You see, I'm retired, and I'm pretty content. I'm pretty happy. I'm happier with my life right now than I've ever been. And I'm pretty content in my relationship with Jesus Christ. But you know what? On my bad days, I want just a little more. I want just a little more so I can take that one vacation I didn't take or buy that next car that I hadn't planned on buying. I want just a little more. Are we going to keep telling God we can run this area of our lives? Or have you finally had enough? It's your choice. Every talk that's given up here always comes down to it's your choice. You can decide which way you want to live. Proverbs 15:16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. See, relationship up close and personal with God is the ultimate goal of a content heart. In Job 26:11, if they obey and serve Him, they will spend the rest of their days in prosperity and their years in contentment. See, God just wants your obedience, your ultimate obedience. Remember, God wants your whole heart and nothing less. But the world wants your heart too and will stop at nothing till it gets what it desires. That's talking about idol worship. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John 2:15. Just a little more. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth, it says in Revelation 3. Brothers, I'm here to tell you today, I know some very godly men that I love very much. And some of those men are right here in this room today. These men know absolutely that God can fulfill their hearts. That a true relationship with Him brings true contentment with all kinds of blessings. I've been blessed in having these men as my friends and letting them mentor to me. These men don't need things of the world to know God's goodness. But God gives them things of the world. He gives them things of the world to make their life more abundant. But if you need material things to convince you of God's goodness, that's no longer faith. The godly men know that. I know a couple men here in Kokomo that both of them told me they have over $1 million in the bank. Yet they're the two most miserable men I know in their own lives. See, they never learned how to honor God with their life. They don't have an up-close and personal relationship with God. What good's that money doing them? It's just rot. That's all it is. In closing, do you believe that God works all things for your good, for His good? To be content means one believes God will meet our needs and God will work all circumstances for His good. God wants our obedience wholeheartedly. If we have the knowledge of faith that God rules over all, contentment is a present possession, not a future hope. Contentment is a present possession and not a future hope. I can be content in knowing I have true richness in my heart. I have the peace that comes with being content and being assured I'm accepted as a true son of God. Being content in God will take care of being content in the world. Now we've woven those two contentments together. If you are content in the Lord, you'll be content in the world. It's a choice, but it's also a struggle. So you have to be in Christ, who you say you are. Christ said to his disciples, "Follow me." They didn't say, "We need just a little more." They dropped everything and followed him. Can you? Thank you, God, for this opportunity today, Lord. I pray your blessings on these men here today, Lord. Thank you so much. We love you, God. Pour down your love and your grace and your blessings on us. It's in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.